Hello and welcome to the 2024 TESOL special of the Teacher Think Aloud podcast. I'm your co-host, Anna.
And I'm Shay.
We're just recovering from our week in Tampa, Florida for the TESOL 2024 convention. And wow, what a week it was.
What a week. So this is our third year going together, representing the podcast. And as we've done each year, we're using our first episode after TESOL to debrief, to reflect on our experience, the connections we've made, the things we've learned, and take the general pulse of the field of TESOL.
So much. If you weren't able to go, listeners, this is your chance to get a sense of prevalent themes and some of the ideas we're exploring. And if you were there, now's your chance to reflect on your own experience. You'll hear some of our thoughts as well as snippets from other conference attendees.
So without further ado, let's get to it.
Oh, there it is. There it is, Shay. Go, 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 go. All right. I love that hood.
That was a lot. I'm really hot now.
Yeah. Let's dive
kind
right
of embarrassed.
In.
Embarrassed. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's do it. All right. Any general impressions, Shay?
Well, I have to say, Tampa itself was a really great city for the conference.
Heck yes.
Oh, warm weather, right? No need for ponchos. Sunshine, surrounded by palm trees, water, and it had a very walkable area around the convention center. So
Yeah. The convention center was great. It felt more intimate than previous TESOL conferences, didn't it?
But it was still just as overwhelming as usual, right? Yeah. I mean, there were just so many sessions and people to see. Every year there's more, it seems.
Yeah, it's a really great opportunity. Mm-hmm. And other attendees seem to have felt the same.
My name's Jennifer. I'm from California. I am a high school independent study SPED teacher, but I'm also the EL lead at my school. I think there's a lot of cool things happening, and I don't know every single thing that's happening. I never will, but it's exciting that people are meeting from all over the world to network and try to exchange resources for making learning English more accessible for students from whatever setting they're in. Like, there's all these people that really care and are trying to learn, and, you know, they spent a lot of money to be here or their work is paying for it, but it's just, it's cool.
It is cool, isn't it?
Yeah. And I also wanted to pause for a moment on another point Jennifer emphasized regarding conference accessibility.
I got a cochlear implant May of 2022, and it's really changed my life. Before that, I had two hearing aids, and I would not have been able to attend this conference without my cochlear implant. Wow. I can now hear people. I can talk to people. I can network. I can, like, you know, make friends. And I do know that not everybody has a positive experience with cochlear implants. So I did just wanted to share mine, you know, because it's really changed my life.
And thinking about how organizations can make conferences and other learning opportunities more accessible is really important.
Yeah, I don't know if there could be like ASL interpreters, or whether people that are deaf even feel like something like this is even relevant to them, but it should be.
I really love that Jennifer brought this up. There are so many considerations for how we can make conferences more inclusive, whether it's for people with impaired hearing or vision, mobility, neurodivergence. We don't want to exclude any educators from such an enriching experience. I'd like to know more about how we can ensure these supports.
Yeah. And actually, another conference attendee, Anne, you may remember her from Friends of the Podcast episode on AI.
Yeah, she's so great.
She's amazing. Anne mentioned that inclusivity was another huge theme of the conference.
Hello, hello, everyone. My name is Anne Haggerson, and I am a virtual educator for the U.S. State Department. This was my very first TESOL International Conference, and I was sponsored to tell my story at a session entitled Creating Cultural Connections in the Virtual Classroom. And overall, it was an incredible experience for me. I wanted to highlight a few sessions that really had an impact on me. So the first was the presidential plenary, where David Schwarzer gave a talk about translanguaging in English, Spanish, and Hebrew. And he was flowing between the three languages naturally through written text and by going back and forth between English, Spanish, and Hebrew. I was moved by this experience because it felt poetic, beautiful, freeing, and creative. I've always felt resistant to translanguaging, honestly, because I've always been taught that immersion is the best way to teach and learn languages. He made that point that, you know, the oftentimes multilingual people are sometimes the most resistant to translanguaging, but that we do need to open our minds to new frameworks. And tonight with my son, I was putting him to sleep and we were reading a bilingual story, and I would read a paragraph in English and a paragraph in Spanish, and it was very rich and dynamic, and it helped us comprehend the text even more deeply. I was blown away by Melissa Rivera Screven's talk on translingual strategies used by multilingual Latino families with deaf students and deaf children. She gave her talk in sign language with voiceover and talked about how important her work has been in creating more inclusive learning environments for deaf students. Through her work, she bridges school and community, makes learning more accessible and transformative. And finally, the closing keynote resonated a similar message where Cass Minor and Cornelius Minor showed us ways to make classroom environments learner-centered and accessible. And they talked about teachers as researchers and reflective practitioners that decenter the institution and recenter the people. So their passion, their love for teaching, their love for each other, because they're a couple, and for change was such a powerful way to close the convention.
I went to that last plenary and it was just incredible. Their talk really made us reflect on the why behind education. It's about the people, right? It actually, it made me cry a few times. The message was really moving. And they were just amazingly dynamic and certainly lit a spark under my behind. That's for sure.
I'm glad you went. I honestly was too burned out by the end and went to the aquarium that afternoon instead. I needed a break, but I do wish I had had a chance to see more of these talks on inclusive education. It's one of those themes that was really, that's really prevalent in TESOL right now.
For sure. And another topic that stood out this year was, I mean, no surprise here, artificial intelligence.
Every AI session I had a chance to attend had a line out the door. Teachers are clearly trying to gather resources on this.
And this was the first time AI was really central at TESOL, I think. Last year it was a bit premature because ChatGPT hadn't launched yet when proposals were due. But clearly this year AI was all the rage.
One of the conference attendees we spoke to also noted this trend.
My name is Ensley Kazo. I work in the teacher development field, and my pronouns are he and him. The conversation around how to use AI, there's a lot of apprehension towards it because students can use it to quote unquote cheat. But shifting them to mindset, people are looking for strategies to deal with AI because here's the reality of it. Now we have AI, it's here. And whether you want it or not, it's going to be just as here as YouTube is. So rather than see the wave and try to run away from it, get your surfboard and let's ride the wave.
I love that. I love that. Get your surfboard and ride the wave, people.
That resonates a lot with what our friends said on the 2024 Friends of the Podcast episode, remember?
And also what our guest Jeff McElvenis said on episode 48, whom, by the way, we saw at the conference.
So nice to see Jeff. And you may also notice two other former podcast guests in these pictures. Joe Voits, who was on episode 25 on handling conflict in the classroom.
Shout out to Joe for essentially being our personal paparazzo.
Joe. And this picture, in this picture, you can also see our dear friend and former guest, Sherry McKay, from episode 34 on trauma-sensitive teaching.
Sherry, she's just the best. And I mean, speaking of Sherry, she did a few workshops on the topic of social emotional learning, or SEL, which was another prominent topic at TESOL this year. There were so many sessions on SEL and teacher well-being.
It kind of reflects the state of the world, you know? Mm-hmm. We're all in need of some tender, loving care.
Mm-hmm, definitely. These two topics, AI and SEL, all really focused on giving practical tips. I have to say, I did get a little burnt out, especially on AI. There's just so much.
Yeah, AI can get a little repetitive. I mean, mm-hmm. prompt engineering tutorials and the like. Mm-hmm. But the presenters did share a wide range of tools.
Mm-hmm. And there's clearly a need for both AI and SEL support. So that was an interesting trend. Another focus area that I found interesting were sessions on meaningful PD, mm-hmm. how to make professional development more effective and meaningful for teachers in today's changing teaching landscape. Mm-hmm. This kind of felt like a new trend to me, and it very much fit into what our own focus was at the conference this year, Anna, right?
Yeah, sure did.
Yeah.
We had a poster session on using reflective practice as a tool for making your PD more meaningful, mm-hmm. as well as a presentation on how to make the most of your conference experience. Mm-hmm. I have to say the poster was a lot of work to put together, mm-hmm. and I wasn't sure if many people would show up. Poster mm-hmm. sessions can be kind of hit or miss depending on when you're scheduled for. Mm-hmm. But wow. We ended up speaking with so many people that day.
It was amazing. It was a mm-hmm. huge hit. And I think we were able to provide a lot of good resources for our visitors. Mm-hmm. Our poster walked participants through the fundamentals of reflective practice and gave them a chance to reflect on their own teaching practice. We had a handout and a spin the wheel activity and some grab and go reflection questions. You can find the resources and activities from the session in our reflective practice starter kit.
Yep. You can find that at bit.ly/RP(P)lowercase starter kit. It's a mouthful. Mm-hmm. We'll put that in the show notes for you too.
So it's hard to share links, isn't it? Yeah.
But yeah.
The presentation was also a big hit. I mean, 5:30 p.m. on Friday. That is happy hour time. We weren't expecting a lot of people to come, but we ended up having a decent crowd. It was amazing.
And I mean, we had such an engaged audience. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's hear what Anne and another attendee had to say.
Yes.
I just wanted to mention that I met Shay and Anna, the creators of this incredible podcast, personally, and I was so excited to talk to them and to attend their session on mm-hmm. making the most out of the conference and on reflecting on all of the learning. So it was really exciting to connect and to meet everyone face to face.
Hi, I'm Svetlana and I'm from Ukraine. I'm so inspired to be here at TESOL 2024 convention, and I have just attended a fantastic session on reflection.
I have chosen
this session, to be honest, by chance. Mm. I didn't know that there were sessions planned that late. But my friend told me that she was going to take another session, and I just looked through the list of sessions and I decided that maximizing it's 5:30 p.m. is okay.
Yeah, on Friday night.
Friday night. I was really so inspired that my fatigue has disappeared after this fantastic session. You made reflection so light that now I like reflection.
Amazing. That's Thanks amazing. So I'm going to cry. We did not pay her to say that.
I have come to this conference as the exchange participant. Okay. So I was nominated by the U.S. Embassy in Ukraine to participate in cultural and educational access exchange program. Mm-hmm. I have spent a week in San Diego. I attended a lot of schools, colleges, universities, and now I am full of ideas mm-hmm. to share this experience. Mm-hmm. And of course, my primary goals for attending TESOL conference mm-hmm. were to meet a lot of new people, mm-hmm. educators from all around the world, mm-hmm. to take the ideas from them, and then to spread the ideas in my country. You see, I'm a teacher trainer. Mm-hmm. I'm training teachers. I'm organizing the professional development courses for them. Mm-hmm. Now I'm full of idea. I really have to put them in order and to spread not only around the region I'm from, but all around Ukraine.
Amazing.
Oh my gosh. It was such a pleasure to meet Svetlana. She's so sweet.
She was so kind and energetic. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting. She mentioned she's a teacher trainer in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. It goes to show how diverse TESOL attendees' backgrounds and goals are.
Not just teachers, but teacher leaders as well. Our presentation called Maximizing Your Conference Experience from Uptake to Output, love that title, was really all about using reflection to fit conferences into our broader PD journal.
Journey.
Or journal. Maybe a journal is part of your journey.
Journaling's a strategy.
Yeah. So the first question we asked participants to reflect on was what their main focus or goals for the conference were going into it, starting from a place of intentionality.
And Svetlana covered a lot of the types of goals attendees may have going into a conference. Networking with people, finding new ideas to bring back to our communities of practice. There are so many objectives people come to conferences with.
Right. Our friend Ensley, we heard from earlier, also comes from a teacher training background. His goal was similar, I'd say.
My focus going into the conference was just to get there. I've been in the TESOL for 16 plus years, almost 17, and I've never been to a conference. So I had the opportunity and I said, let me go do it. And I did it. And it was a great experience. I got a lot of networking done, met people that I met online, connected with through LinkedIn or through some other projects. So it was a good experience just to reconnect and meet other professionals like myself in the field.
Woohoo, another first timer.
Yay. Glad he could make it.
Yeah, so Ensley was really focused on that networking piece. That's a huge part of conference going, but many attendees also have work-specific goals. Let's hear from another friend.
Yeah.
My name's Eric Trader. My pronouns are he, him, his. My location is Jersey City, New Jersey. And my teaching context, I'm the director of a learning center that gets run through the public library system of Jersey City. I'm feeling really great about the conference because I came with very clear objectives about what I wanted to learn and people I needed to connect to. The community members we serve are adults. They're all people who have immigrated at some point in their lives and are looking for the free classes that we provide. So it's ESL, computers, etc. So in the 6 months since I've started this program, there have been two huge surprises. The first one is that we have so many absolute beginners in English, despite the number of years that they've lived there. That was fine, but that also there's a problem with literacy, meaning they're not literate even in their own language. We have a literacy track and we have an ESL track, but we have neither materials nor curriculum for ESL and literacy together. And I've noticed a real dearth of materials in that. So I really tried to talk to course book publishers, make them alert to this need that I'm hearing from other community ESL leaders across the country. And so that has been great. On the totally opposite end of the spectrum, I discovered a huge desire among the higher level students for explicit phonology classes.
Interesting.
Because they're finding, my grammar's great, I know a lot of words, but I go to the job interview and it's clear they don't understand a word I'm saying. So it's about really focusing on the framework of Jennifer Jenkins of intelligible pronunciation, not accent reduction. So I went to a lot of phonology things. And then the third piece with the upper level students being workplace English, all the business English course books are implicitly geared towards you're the manager, you're leading meetings, whatever. Whereas I need two things. First of all, transitioning into the workplace. Writing a CV, where do I look for work? How do I do a job interview, etc. But then also most of my students are looking for customer service positions. And there are almost no ESL materials focused on this. So I was trying to connect to other people and get their ideas and find out what they're doing. And the conference has been really successful for those three objectives.
Amazing. What a shining start. It's so helpful to come into a conference with clear objectives. It's clear that Eric got a lot out of his time at TESOL for that reason.
Absolutely. The more concrete our objectives, the easier it is to choose how to spend our time at the conference. And once the conference is over, it's important to think about how we'll move forward with what we've learned, how we can extend our learning.
Svetlana already mentions that she plans to bring back the ideas she's gathered at TESOL back to her colleagues in Ukraine. And there are many other ways of extending our learning and fitting a conference into our overall PD plan.
You may remember our friend Rosemary, whose episode on advocacy came out the week of TESOL.
Mm-hmm. That's episode 53, Teachers as Advocates.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear what she has to say about post-conference follow-up.
Rosemary Colon. My pronouns are she and her. I am living and working out of Washington State, Spokane specifically, so Eastern Washington, and I teach at two universities, Gonzaga University and Mukagawa U.S. Women's Campus, which is a Japanese study abroad campus in Spokane. How do you plan to implement what you've learned, and how does this experience fit into your overall professional development plan? Mm. This is curious to me because overall professional development plan, I haven't ever thought of my... going to conferences as an actual plan, but in reality, I guess it is, right? Because you're learning. And then as far as sharing with my colleagues back in Spokane, I will do a recap in our faculty meeting and then also leave it open to meeting with me, and maybe we could have like a little impromptu session of like, hey, this is what I learned. This is a really cool tool that you can use in the classroom. I go to a lot of advocacy things, so also sharing what's going on there as well.
So good to see Rosemary.
Yeah, we love that she and our other podcast guest, Alex, came to our presentation. Thanks, y'all.
Yes, thank you.
And it's so true that follow-up and thinking of the conference in the context of a greater PD plan, these don't always come naturally to us, right? It's easy to take notes at a conference and then leave them to languish in a notebook. And as we do, and never try anything out or think explicitly about how all of this fits into our professional development.
Yeah, it's hard to move beyond that. Mm-hmm. But our friend Eric, remember, who came in with very clear objectives, definitely has a plan to move forward.
I've set up Zoom dates with a number of the people I've met here. Yes. And I can't say we're forming a community of practice, but we definitely said, hey, we're going to exchange ideas. And as we're learning things and trying things, we're going to talk to each other. So that's going to happen on an informal level. I'm definitely going to the TESOL website, and I'm downloading the materials, not only from the sessions I attended, but a lot of the sessions I wasn't able to attend. So that's going to continue. Good idea. And then as I get a clearer idea of what I'm doing and what I want to do, I am going to go to the English Language Programs Community of Practice and not only put my thoughts, but also a lot of questions that I'm hoping other people have ideas about. So that's what I'm going to do after the conference.
Keep it going.
These are such great ideas. Following up on connections we've made, intentionally going back to materials from sessions we attended or did not attend. I love that. Yes. And tapping into our existing communities of practice to solidify what we've learned. Great.
Truly exemplary, Eric. Thank you.
And a lot of these ideas are ones that we spoke about in our presentation and that we've now written about in our post-conference blog post that just came out on maximizing your conference experience. We do hope you'll check it out.
Yes. Take a look at teacherthinkaloud.com/blog. We'll link the post in the show notes, of course.
So then, wrapping up, Anna, what are some of our major impressions of TESOL 2024?
Well, you and I were talking on and off about the nature of the sessions this year. They weren't so focused on skill or activity sharing, right? More on some of these big ideas such as inclusion or SEL.
Yeah, it was a very different experience than past TESOL conferences for me, at least. I usually come away with so many new activities in my toolbox, but this conference, I felt more like an immersion in broader concepts. Like we were exposing gaps in the field and opening the conversation rather than just filling them.
It's like, where do we go from here? Almost like we're in this like post-teaching or post-practices era of ELT. Like, I don't know how, like, I just think of contemporary art as a mishmash of many styles and philosophies, the culmination of a long evolution of art. At TESOL, it was like we've reached this place where the foundations have really been laid. Mm-hmm. And we're revisiting notions of the past through new lenses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's just so exciting to see this shift happening before our very eyes.
It is.
Yeah.
So listeners, now we want you to reflect. Mm-hmm. If you went to TESOL, what were your conference goals? How do you plan to extend your learning beyond the conference?
And if you didn't go, think about your personal PD journey. What learning do you plan to pursue next? And how do you perceive the evolution of TESOL as a field?
You can share with us in a comment on social media or email us at teacherthinkaloud@gmail.com. We welcome your reflections, questions, and ideas.
And don't forget to subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, really any platform.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Teacher Think Aloud podcast. And until next time, happy teaching.
And happy reflecting.